Already there's been some change. For example, for the first time, the Wizard Lab has one member. It's been allowed two people at this point, has one member sitting on the program council of this station. And this situation exists in many other stations. And the program council is the organization, again, advisory, that looks at programming, looks at different issues affecting communities, and help the program director decide what should be on the air. I can say I wasn't going to talk about that now because I was this is something that I felt the lab should announce. But there's been regular discussions for the last few months between the executive director of Pacifica, Dan Coughlin, and conference call is what I'm talking about, not face to face, but mostly conference call, and the chairs of each local advisory board. And one of the decisions they've made that's going to be implemented very soon is first to have every lab have its own 1 hour show. That already exists in some of the stations, particularly KPFA. And more to the point of your question, that the labs now will be consulted and will have an input as to who's hired and who's fired in the station. And they already have a role. Anthony McCall right now sits as chair of the search committee for station manager. And the lab also has an official capacity in the program in this committee, the bylaws revision committee. So this is clear that this is the challenge here is to create a system that is truly representative, where the voice of the local voice, the color, if you want, no pun intended, the texture of our reality, of our experience, of our difficulties is expressed through the programming. Our education is done, our exchange of culture, our sharing is done through local programming. And at the same time that we're part of a federal system, if you want, a national system that gives us the kind of reach, the kind of power, the kind of a vision that we never have just locally. And this would, so in a way, it's a challenge to have the right balance, is to have a national system where not only we have a strong voice for the national board, but also have an extended voice to the so-called affiliates. The Pacifica now is affiliated to about 50 stations. We have a committee that was set up recently to deal with the so-called affiliate problems, and the view is to bring us, not only to strengthen the relation, to redefine it. Because to all the problem we had recently, some of the affiliates left. We want to reach out to those people. We want to reach out to those who are still with us, and redefine the relationship, give them a greater voice, discuss bilateral issues, including the possibility for us to use their material instead of just being a one way of them using our national programming. So we're going to take a break. This is WBAI. In New York City, 99.5 FM. My name is Wella Forrest. I'm co-chair of the WBI Bylaws Revision Committee. I have with me Paul Sorovel, Anthony McCall, Eve Moser, and they have been making presentation on their vision of election within a future for WBI. Also with us is Dacio Quintana, who's not necessarily a member of the Bylaws Committee, but who's an active member of the outreach for WBI station. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Vengan al Festival Esperanza, un día de celebración en beneficio del proyecto Por un Mejor Hoy, un programa educacional comunitario para niños de Nueva York y México. El festival tendrá lugar todo el sábado 27 de julio en el Centro Cultural Clemente Soto Vélez, 107 de la calle Suffolk entre Delancey y Rivington, cerca del Subway F, en Loisada de Manhattan. Habrá actividades creativas para niños de 10 a.m. a 2 p.m. y de 2 a 7 p.m. habrá algo para todos: videos, arte, bebidas, poesía del barrio, teatro del grupo Cuatlicue y música de Tribu, Yerbabuena y la Politically Suspect String Band. Para mayor información, llamar al 212-665-0174. Al 212-665-0174.
We're back. This is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Today, if you're a regular listener of Hugh Hamilton's Talk Back, in case you're just tuning in, this program has been preempted to present a special work of the WBAI Bylaws Revision Committee. This is a committee that was set up as a result of the settlement reached last year. We suggest between different parties struggling over the future of Pacifica, and that has set up a new national board. This board created a committee, a bylaws revision committee, whose role is to review all the existing bylaws of the institution and come up with new procedures for election, relative power between the national board and the local board, the right of the listeners to be involved in the issues, to vote, and to decide who can vote and who can run, and hopefully to have the best system to allow input from the listeners and control over what is heard on the air, and for a local advisory board to be much more active, proactive, and influential, again, as to what is happening in the station. And these are just a few of the issues. Today with us are Paul Sorovel, Anthony McCall, and Eve Moser, who have just made presentations of their views. Well, actually, Paul presented the so-called the KPFA, a sister station in Berkeley, their experience with his election. And this model was chosen by the agreement, was chosen as a starting point for discussion by all listening areas. We have until December of this year to set up bylaws and everything necessary, including an election procedure, to have election of the local advisory boards in all listening five listening areas by December 22nd, and within 3 months after election for the national board itself. Now, Paul Sorovel is going to give you some information, phone numbers, and websites and the like to allow us to contact us and be in communication with us. Paul?
Right. If you'd like to keep abreast of developments in the bylaws process, there are two websites which are particularly important. One is the official website of the Pacifica Foundation. It's www.pacifica.org. Secondly, there is a website, www.wbai.net, which is probably the most up-to-date and thorough website available on the bylaws process, as well as many other issues relating to Pacifica.
Do you want to repeat that, just in case somebody went to get a pen?
Sure. And by the way, WBAI.net is not the official website of WBAI. WBAI's official website is www.wbai.org. So the two websites to consult in order to keep abreast of developments in the bylaws process, as well as about announcements of meetings and other events, are pacifica.org and wbai.net. There is also a listserv, which is essentially a discussion board, which has been set up specifically for the WBAI Bylaws Revision Committee. It has about 100 members, and you might want to join this list to get involved in some of the dialogue that's taking place. Occasionally, you may find some items that might not be terribly relevant to the subject at hand, but if you are selective, you're going to find a lot of good things to read. In order to become a member of the listserv, this is a little bit long, so get ready to write. You sign on to, this is a Yahoo group, discussion group. It's http://groups, G-R-O-U-P-S, .yahoo.com/group, G-R-O-U-P, / WBAI bylaws, one word. And then you'll have to go through some steps in order to become a member of the list. And I think Ray is going to give you his phone number if you want to get in touch. But just before he does that, I wanted to read a note I received from Andy Norris, who's a lab member from New Jersey. Andy wanted me to convey these thoughts, that there have been 13 public meetings in the WBAI signal area of the Signal Area Bylaws Subcommittee, and that the minutes for several of those meetings are available at WBAI.net. And Andy characterizes our Bylaws Committee as follows. A major objective of the bylaws process is to educate, inform, and most importantly, to hear from listeners.
Yeah, I would add to that Andy has been one of the more active members of the local advisory board. He's been in that position for quite a while now, and his experience shows. We've been recently elected to be the local advisory board secretary, and his capacity is running quite effectively. I'd like to add one more, at least for those of you who are, I guess, computer savvy. It's a bit long, but whether you believe it or not, it is the official website for the Bylaws, WBI Bylaws Revision Committee. So it's http://snow, snow, S-N-O-W, period, prohosting, P-R-O-H-O-S-T-I-N-G, period, com, /, WBAI Lab. WBAI LAB /. Now, temporarily, until recently, we were using the telephone number. For those of you who don't have access to the internet or prefer not to communicate that way, we're using the telephone number of concerned friends of WBAI. As we've gotten back into control of the station and this process is continuing, many of the individuals who worked with us have been either come back here as, you know, positions, administrative positions, or as producers, and as we have less and less individual, the workers' fundraising for the organization has been more difficult, and maybe one would hope less necessary, although there's still work to be done on the grassroots level. So therefore, it has disappeared. So temporarily, I'll give my telephone number, which is 212-219-0022. 212-219-0022, extension 5113. You can also write me at at Ray LaForest. That's my email address, Rayla Forest, RayLaForest, at MindSpring, MindSpring, .com. Rayla Forest at MindSpring.com. Thank you. Now I have some comments that both Eve Moser and Anthony McCall want to, some ideas they want to share with you. Eve?
I actually wanted, before doing that, to simply add one more website, please.
Yes, sure.
And that is for people who are really elections junkies. They can go to the site of the Elections Committee of Concerned Friends, which is the same business that you had before, http://groups.yahoo.com/group/WBAI elections. And you can find some material there that probably or might not be on the other websites, more specifically about election methods and such.
Thank you, Eve. Anthony?
Thank you, Ray. I thought it would be good if I could make a brief comment regarding Dacio's question about the lab. As another lab member here today and one who has somewhat of a vision about the lab's role in the future, I'd just like to make a couple of quick comments, Dacio. Historically, the lab has been, as stated, an advisory group. Its actual function has varied, and there's been some unevenness in the role that it has played. But through many different periods, there have been very involved lab people who've helped do everything from identify and equip and the new location that we're in now to do major fundraising and play tremendous roles as volunteers in the BAI life story. During this interim period, we have much that we're doing. And also, the legacy of our involvement during the struggle to regain our station is part of what we're doing now. Specifically, we were able to become much more of a grassroots organization, a lab that was actually a part of the resistance, by participating more with the broad range of community listeners. As such, we participated in efforts like the Civil Disobedience Act at the station when we attempted to have a lab meeting while Utrice Lead was acting station manager, and they refused to let us in because some of the people who were going to participate in that meeting, namely Janice K. Bryant, Mimi Rosenberg, were persona non grata at the station and were banned. And as a result, we all refused to participate in a lab meeting that any one of us would be excluded from. Now, this was not only done by the lab, but by a number of the activists in the resistance movement. And this characterized what would be our role during the last, say, 9-10 months of this 13-month struggle after the Christmas coup. Specifically, we engaged in a number of issues that were somewhat controversial as well. The question of whether or not the lab, which had about 13 or 14 active members and was legally structured to have as many as 24 members, there was a question as to whether or not we could fill up the spots that were vacant with prospective lab members as we struggled. That kind of thing was struggled against, and it was determined that by a number of people in the listener community that it was inappropriate. Many of us feel, and then and still do, that the lab is an important element now and really needs to have that involvement. The kinds of roles that the lab is playing, and this is important in terms of looking at the question of bylaws and role and function going forward. The kind of role that the lab is playing now is one in which we are representatives of the listener community in many instances on things like the General Manager Search Committee, on the Program Council, as well as in the day-to-day activities on the station. And we were certainly the representatives of the community in functioning in transition on the WBAI committee. At the same time, many of us on the lab recognize and have pushed for an official policy by the lab. We recognize that since we were not elected by the broader listener community, and that is one of the important elements today, that there be more involvement, that we often call for the inclusion of non-lab listeners, and we seek the involvement through work with and processes determined by other listener groups such as the Concerned Friends from the various regions, New York, New Jersey, upstate, and other groups. What we're hoping to do is involve all of these kinds of listener communities as well as those that we're still trying to reach out to and get more participation from in this next phase. And that phase is critical. That's the phase in which we really make decisions on whether or not the lab will be the day-to-day micromanager, if you will, of things that go on in the station. Will it have an important hands-on but somewhat removed role from operations on a day-to-day level, but set broad policy issues, whether or not the lab will be, through the lab, will there be the selection or of the national board members? These are some of the kinds of issues going forward, or will the national board be elected by the broad listener community directly? Those are some of the kinds of questions that your involvement and other people who have not yet gotten involved in the bylaws and other processes we really need to get involved in.
Thank you, Anthony. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. You're listening to a special program being hosted by me, Ray LaForest, as co-chair of the WBAI Bylaws Revision Committee. This is, we believe, part of very important work of regaining control and improving the functioning, the reality and relations of WBAI, and also part of the work of the National Pacifica Foundation. We've been discussing today the different views as to how the election process should move forward. With me are Paul Sorovel, Anthony McCall, and Eve Moser, all of them involved in different capacities in the struggle and for WBAI and Pacifica. Also with us is Dacio Quintana, who's active in the outreach for the station, and who, you know, if you want, so far has been representing you, the listener, in and giving us his views as somebody who has not been involved yet with the regular works of the of bylaw revision. I must say that as was mentioned by Paul earlier, reading the note from Angie Norris, that we did had 13 meetings so far, and then we were preempted by about more than 3 weeks of fundraising at the station, and then we lost one meeting because all of us were getting ready to move to go to California for the national board meeting. So I'm eager to start these meetings again. Actually, we were supposed to have one this week, but that was the core of the discussion was supposed to focus on an updated version of the document of the national committee, which was called quote unquote bullet point. At this point, all that work has been given to a lawyer who has expertise in writing bylaws. So the next stage is going to have to be a much more formal presentation of the work that has been done so far. It is important for you to be part of this process. It is vital for you to be part of this process, to give you ideas, to contribute your energies, to bring everybody that you know who listens to BAI to this process, and those who don't listen to BAI yet, to tell them how important it is for them to do so. We're getting ready to, by 4:30 or so, we'll be opening the lines to hear from you. We apologize for not having more time to do so. Hopefully we have more time to do so in the future. We certainly are planning and we'll have more of such discussions. The telephone number, as you may know, is 212-209-2900 to reach us. Do you have any questions for each other, by the way?
I have something I'd like to say.
Yes, go ahead.
I guess finishing up what I started to say originally, I guess I could follow it up by saying that in the interest of promoting as direct democracy as possible, and in the interest of conforming to the requirements of the settlement in terms of time, I would say that I would really support the idea of all of us agreeing to adopt for this election, minimally, the KPFA model pretty much as it stands, with the very strong proviso that there be an official cannot take it away possibility of revisiting it and reviewing that and any and all of the bylaws, so that there's flexibility there. This is a gigantic job, this bylaws revision and coming up with an election model by a bunch of people who we're all wonderful, but we really don't have experience with this. This is far more than we can handle and in the time that we have. And I feel very strongly, as well as other people, that we need to keep flexibility in the process and that we should understand that we probably can't get it right the first time. And rather than being locked into something, that we do something, in this case, this use this model, which has a lot going for it and has, the precedent of having been used successfully twice. B, it's already mandated to us to be used as a starting point. So, again, I'm simply suggesting that we go for it and have a provision in the bylaws that allows us to, or demands that we revisit it. Doesn't mean that we have to change it in the future, but it means that we do have to reassess it in the future, but use it now, and so we can get to our goal, which is elected let's call them station boards, elected station boards, and an elected national board, and have a very different structure of governance than we have had till now.
Any comment from the other contributors?
Well, I think that's a very positive contribution, and I think one of the things that you've referred to is that we are in a period of transition. There's a lot of instability throughout Pacifica, in particular at some of the other station areas. Houston, Los Angeles, and Washington are undergoing major transitions in terms of the nature of programming, because Houston and Washington were essentially music stations up until the settlement. And both of those stations have gotten new general managers who are very committed toward the Pacifica mission of emphasizing progressive programming. And changes are underway, but the audiences at those stations are also, in a state of transition. And I think in light of that, I tend to agree that the KPFA model provides an excellent basis for us to start with. But one thing that I would add, that in our first election, that we not elect more than one-third of the lab in light of the instability that's taking place. This would really be a slight modification from the KPFA model itself, which calls for election of one-half of the lab. Beyond that, I also think that we need to take into account much of the kind of approach that Anthony is articulating, and that the inclusion requirements of KPFA can be extended to be more specific, to actually identify specific constituencies beyond the generic category of people of color. So those would be two major amendments that I would suggest for the KPFA model.
Anthony?
Yes, I feel that there is definitely an argument to be made about the practicalities and of time and other logistical issues. Beyond that, however, I think it's much more crucial for us at this point to recognize that by including many more sectors of our existing listening community in the process of voting, and in the process of reaching out and becoming involved, and that their motivation in identifying people, so-called representatives to the station board who would represent their interests, and electing those participants from their community as their reps, that process is one that does not have to be unworkable in many of our opinions. Specifically, over the next 2 to 3 months, we expect to continue our outreach, asking activists who represent the various constituent communities, be they the disabled, the Latino, the Asian, the Native community, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community, from a variety of the communities, rank and file labor. We expect that those activists will continue to do the kind of mobilizing in their communities that, that produces hundreds, if not more, active listeners to participate in the elections. And we think that it'll be very workable that an election ballot that identifies the various sectors that we've discussed as the potential ones in which representatives will be elected, along with the listener community areas such as New York, New Jersey, and upstate, and
Long Island,
and of course Long Island, as well as at-large listeners. We think that all of those categories would be easily represented, that all communities would thereby be able to vote, not simply be marginalized or put to the side, but we would, in fact, include many more. So the practical question is how to carry that out. We think that that can be done on one ballot and by having elections over a period of approximately 3 to 5 weeks, and by having a nominations period of maybe a week, excuse me, about 3 or 4 weeks preceding that. And through a process that we can get into in more detail, I think, in other presentations, since there will be weekly presentations, hopefully this topic will be a part of at least one or two of those sessions. We can really get into that. But I just think it'd be a bit premature to out of hand eliminate this as a possibility.
Thank you, Anthony. Since we're talking about time, I'd like to say that we haven't mentioned that here today, but the settlement has allows the possibility, and for us it would really be a dawn in the dress, a possibility of extending that process. I'm going to the judge who's monitoring the process, and if we do it on solid ground, because some individuals feel, rightfully so, I believe, that if the process should be done properly, and although we are reluctant to use this tool, it is good to know that it is available to us. That if we, at the end, or as we're nearing the end of that, the 15 months, we feel that we don't have enough time to do the job properly, we can apply for an extension. So now we're going to open our lines. The phone number is 212-209-2900. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Sandra. First, thank you all for your work. The presentations were wonderful. I've heard every show on this and the board meetings. I suppose it's one advantage of being practically homebound all the time. Anthony and Paul, thank you both. Anthony, I fit about 5 of the categories. I want to present 2 ideas. Those of you who have been reachable by mail, Ray LaForest has gotten mail from me.
Yes.
After I get off, would everybody spell their names? As multicultural as I am, I have gaps, and sometimes you all speak quickly. But here are my 2 ideas. There's a huge section of the audience who, like me, is homebound, disabled. Some are in organizations, some are not. One idea is to consider having an actual lab member who's homebound, who can attend conference calls by, for some reason there's music coming over the line, who can attend meetings by conference calls. A second idea is, I had enough money, a family member is a CUNY adjunct, making him much richer than most homebound people like me who are on disability, some are not. but about to have a huge rent increase in Mitchell, my Mitchell-Lama rental, I will not be able to renew my membership. And it occurs to me that the only category you talked about were people who could do work at the station. I could never get there, even on the rare trips I go out, which, by the way, I've got a sign on each side of my wheelchair, say hello if you ever see me on the west side. It says, welcome back, WBAI 99.5 FM. But I could not give out flyers because I hardly ever get out. But I would love to be able to do work for the station from home, and I'm not online. There are all kinds of ways, and Paul kind of touched on it. I think with a certain amount of flexibility and creativity, you can get us in. But we're not the people who are going to be at meetings. But I can tell from the people who call into the shows, and I've only been able to make phone calls in the last few years, that because I'm too ill. But we're there, and a lot of us are listening. And again, thanks for all your work. Bye.
Thank you very much, Sarah. One thing I can say is that we are really trying to set up new bylaws that will be as inclusive as possible. Now, these bylaws will have to be written by the National Board. That's the way it's set up now, with input from all the listening areas, the whole public, which is participating. Eve, has some ideas?
I wanted to make a comment. There was, in recent months, a lot of discussion about volunteering as a criterion for voting membership, and that led some people to really think hard about volunteering and the different circumstances people have. And the circumstance that you're describing is exactly one of those, people who really would like to do something, but they cannot come to the station. And anyways, my point was that there are people who have thought about this and have actually started compiling lists of just things as they occur to them, a very long list that includes many options for doing something outside of the station. And I'm sure that there is a move toward this, and I'm sure that this will be taken up and can be taken up. And it's input from people like you who are not maybe coming to some of these meetings, but who can put in their own input, because you probably have suggestions of your own, you and other such people, of saying, hey, I could do this, because it also has to come from you yourselves to say, these are the things I could do, not only for other people to say, well, this is what we need done. So between the two things of somebody saying, these are the things we need done, and the other people saying, hey, these are the things I can do, surely it can be put together.
Thank you, Eve. Anybody else? I can add to this that the general view maybe is that there has to be some kind of contribution to the station, either financially or through time. I can tell you through some of the work, political work I've done in the past, I remember one individual was very helpful. She couldn't attend any meeting. We used to mail flyers to her, and she had a mailing list. She contributed envelopes, stamps, and she did it completely on her own. She never showed up anywhere, but we saw the result of her work. Paul?
I'd just like to say that the last caller, I think her name was it Sandra?
Sandra, yes.
Sandra, you are already working for WBAI. By having your sign on your wheelchair and promoting the station, you're advertising the station, you're promoting the station. As far as I'm concerned, you've put in many, many hours of volunteer work for us. And, you would qualify as a volunteer in my book. And just an aside on that note, the membership campaign has WBAI buttons for sale, a minimum of 24 cent contribution. And if you can't afford that, they're free. If anybody would like a WBAI button or would like to help out with the membership campaign, leafleting, tabling, attending events, speaking for the station, call me at 973-763-9493.
Thank you, Paul. Next caller. Thank you. How are you doing?
Yes, hi. This is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
All right. I wanted to discuss what's going on here today. First of all, I'd like to say that I think that you're not devoting enough time to listener calls. You've finally come to the calls at the last half hour of the show. I think that you should have a show that is devoted to the listeners calling in and expressing their ideas, because many of us cannot get to these meetings. And what's happening in the meetings is that a small group of people who are, have the time or where it's convenient for them to get to are having a disproportionate effect on the outcome. And in particular, I'd like to bring up a couple of issues that you mentioned. According to what I understand was said earlier, the local advisory board will have 14 members elected from the, I guess, the listeners, and 8 from the staff. Is that correct?
That is if we adopt the KPFA model.
Okay, that's their model. Okay, my problem with that is that the staff represents what number of people? 50? 100? I don't know. But it's a fairly small number of people who are guaranteed two-thirds of the, or one-third of the, over one-third of the votes. That is not democratic. If staff members want to run, they should have the same rights to run as everyone else. This is setting them up as a special privileged class that is not democratic. And also this business of grandfathering in board members, this is not democratic either. One of your panelists said earlier that he now doesn't think that 50% is sufficient to grandfather in. He wants to grandfather in two-thirds so that only one-third would be of the seats would be up for election. That is also totally undemocratic. They should all be up for election each time. That's democracy. You talk about inclusion, but what I hear is exclusion. And who's being excluded? Me, white heterosexual males. That's the target, it seems, to exclude from the board on this station, according to what I'm hearing. I'm not welcome.
Well, Tom, I can tell you in my book, you are more than welcome. Both as white and as heterosexual and male.
I'm a white heterosexual male myself.
Before you continue, Paul, I'd like to say first, I do agree with you 100% that we should have more time for the listeners. In the past, we've always allocated half the time for the listeners. It was felt, though, that since this was the first time we were having a program at this segment during the day, that we assumed the audience is relatively new to these issues, that we would lay out the process first. And it took longer than expected, and that in the future, as was said, there's going to be a one show a week, one program a week. And again, I mentioned earlier that there's a meeting being set up between us and the programmers so that these can be duplicated and coordinated so that hopefully it'll be maybe one, two, maybe even three shows and that three programs and that many other people can participate here and on the other side. In terms of what you say, but as you say again, that none of the bylaws have been written yet, and I hear you very strongly in terms of your views, and hope you can join us and contribute. And if you can't come personally, you can send us your suggestions in writing, and they're welcome.
Can I make one last suggestion?
Yes.
And that is that I would suggest that you hold some kind of a public forum where potential candidates for board positions can come, make a presentation to the audience, and then attempt to collect their signatures from the audience right then and there. Because otherwise what you have is only the members who are organized will be able to collect the signatures, and they'll sign for each other, and you'll have an inside clique running the station just as we had before. Let's make WBAI a true free speech station and a truly inclusionary station, including everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Well, we definitely plan on having community forums even before the election process is engaged. Paul, you want to say something?
Well, just in terms of the notion of white heterosexual males, under the KPFA model, up to 50% of the lab can be white heterosexual males. So no one is being excluded.
I just have to say that I'm not a white heterosexual male, but I just want you to know that I am entirely in agreement 100% with everything you said. And please, please get on the computer or the writing any way you write or speak, and please participate in any way you can.
Anthony?
Yes, I would just say to Tom that while I support his right to say what he did, I definitely disagree with several things. For instance, the formulation that the only democracy is one in which each person votes at each juncture and guarantees some sort of fair process is somewhat inaccurate. for instance, in the cases where there is an electorate that is not itself representative of those who will in fact be impacted by those who are elected, that electorate itself is often somewhat skewed. What we're looking to do is to create a process by which the actual people making the choices, that is, electing, picking the representatives, is much broader, much larger, and in fact much more aware of what the issues are. And in order to do that, it does involve outreach. At the same time, the question of the lab and the number of people that would be grandfathered or not in is an issue that I am not necessarily trying to respond to now as being pro it or against it, but the rationale for it is certainly not one that automatically precludes democratic principles. There's a whole concept that in staggering or staging elections over time that you tend to keep some body of people representative of the struggle and of the issues in place as you make other changes. Paul has pointed out that, for instance, that's the case in the U.S. Senate, and body that I am not trying to
emulate,
either emulate or cite in my examples. On the other hand, there are a number of other questions that we think the listeners ought to raise today and at other times. But we at least wanted to give you some frame of reference, some context today.
Yes, thank you, Anthony. I'd like to say to Tom, though, that the only context within which I've heard discussion of grandfathering were with an effort to prevent, because if you throw this as how anybody can participate without explaining who they are, there's a fear that people to the right, like people involved in taking over the system, especially if they're associated with money, would just pay individuals to just come in and practically buy the election. And that by grandfathering certain individual, by the way, I'm not giving my position on this at all. I'm just trying to explain some of the rationale behind the thinking. By grandfathering certain position, you would ensure first a minimum of familiarity with the process and experience, some seniority. And second, the fact that there will be people in position already, so that even if some other force could come and have some group elected, you would have a chance to wake up before you're overwhelmed. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. This is a special program of the Bylaws Revision Committee of WBAI. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your service to date to Pacifica and WBAI in particular. I think that in and of itself, I know to be a great sacrifice, because some of us do things in other ways at no compensation to ourselves. And for you to take and donate these hours says much for your commitment. That has to be understood by anyone who is sitting in judgment of the work that you have done. You were there. You got that process rolling. And for that reason, as a family, we can work out the rest. The last gentleman that called, I was with him on many issues up to the point of the notion where we have to inject that there is some design to exclude white heterosexual males. I wish he'd refer to himself as a Euro-American, because to do otherwise prosecutes the doctrine of white supremacy. No such creatures exist. But having said that, he was on the money on certain things. I've been here for 2 hours listening to you, and while I appreciate your perspective, I think this was rather billed as a time that the listeners could either hear some of the amendments that had been submitted and read out so they could muse on them and get feedback, and perhaps you're going to get to that in the immediate future. But having now to wrestle with the things that you have said, you said so many things, and I know I've been ringing for an hour and 15 minutes. So if you'll give me a couple of minutes, I'd like to respond to your mindsets, because you have made that open to us, and we're appreciated, and you're very much entitled to it because you're doing the work. Earlier, there was this notion of what should constitute membership, and basically there was a voice that represented the question of open membership given the relative station of living of various people in various communities. In that determination, and I'm not going to pass on it one way or another, I would just ask that the committee factor in the fact where we are financially right now. And I thought Sandra made an exquisite point that if you are going to have membership predicated on less than work or contributions, and I'm not saying that there may not be reasons for that, it's still incumbent upon you to narrowly draw those specific criteria, because if you do not, then you will erase the distinction and the incentive for people to pay. So that's a very sensitive area, and in your deliberations, I wish you, and in this thing for democracy, I wish you would consider that. And then the question of some representation and representing everyone in as many groups as we possibly can, which is where we ideally want to be, but here again, our financial circumstance. And my understanding has always been that what the WBAI listeners really want is a trusted voice. And I think you have to, even when groups that cannot help themselves are not represented, it does not foreclose our obligation to be aware of what issues oppress them and to articulate it until they are prepared to get involved, because many of them are so oppressed that they cannot. So you've done a wonderful job. I hope we'll have some readouts pretty soon of the specific bills, and in the future that you will agree that, as Tom has suggested, that the allocation of the time, because I watched it, and we probably only had three calls now or so, and we're almost at 5 minutes to the hour, but I know you didn't do it deliberately, and everybody try to stay cool. We can work through this, and I think that we should think not so much in terms of who has the power, but where is the consensus? We're supposed to be a consensus station, and if we get off in where the power is allocated, I'm just afraid we're doing the same thing that, quite frankly, standard corporations do. It shouldn't be the stockholders against the management. We are stakeholders, but we are not stockholders. And so when you're talking about democracy and a process which has not been refined in its greatest form anywhere in the world or in human civilization, let's give ourselves a break and be relative and grow according to our strength, rather than to put more on our plate and debilitate our resources. Thank you so much for your generous allotment of time.
Thank you very much.
Keep up the good work.
Absolutely. I thank you for your contribution. And again, we want your participation, your involvement, and even if you thought it through, these issues through very thoroughly, there's nothing like hearing other people exchanging views and something will click in. And we need your physical presence also as much as possible. I apologize for not being able to take more calls. I promise you that the next show, which hopefully will be next week, but most likely at a different time, that we will offer as close as possible to the whole hour, the second hour for that. We'll have 1 minute comments from every one of our presenters, if needed. Eve?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wanted to mention a few of the questions that I think are really important. Okay. Some questions that I think are important for everybody to think about are the honing in on our absolute definition of membership with voting rights, because it's not entirely clear yet. And I just want to mention that the business of electing, in my mind and in the mind of most people, I think, includes the power to recall. In other words, if you can vote, if you're eligible to vote, you are eligible to recall those positions that you voted for. And that's, I think, a very important part of the process. And last, I just want to reiterate my support of the idea that we all five stations, adopt for this election the KPFA model, with the proviso that we revisit it after a year or whatever.
Thank you, Eve.
I'd like to encourage everyone who's listening to become involved in the process. Call Ray at 212-219-0022, extension 5113. And if you'd like to get involved in the membership campaign, you can call me, 973-763-9493. We'll be at the Harlem Book Fair this Saturday.
Yes, the Community for Progressive Radio is actively involved with other listeners at this time in attempting to reach into communities and get more involvement in the whole process of governance. If you're interested in participating in that organizing effort, you can contact the CPR at 718-859-0857. Our email address is activistradio@onebox.com. activistradio@onebox.com.
Thank you, Anthony. Our next meeting, no matter what, will take place at DC 1707, 75 Varick Street, 14th floor. You take the ACE 1 or 2 trains to Canal Street. Thank you.
When?
Let's hear from you soon.
Good day.
That's next Tuesday, 6:30 p.m.
Yes. I'd like to make a call to all students, high school students, college students, and members of labor unions to get involved. This is very critical. We have not mentioned these members, but please do get involved.
From the CD, The Best of Aaron Neville, A Change is Gonna Come. And you heard from Paul Sorvel, Eve Moser, Dacios Quintana, Ray LaForest, and Anthony McCall. And they'll be back another time during the broadcast day here on WBAI. We have to run now. Coming up at 5 p.m. will be Exploration, Science, and Peace Issues with Dr. Michio Kaku. You are tuned to listener-sponsored, commercial-free community radio WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM. Before we go to that, we bring you the Community Bulletin Board.
Is a list of events from the WBAI Community Bulletin Board.
The next meeting of the Long Island Friends of WBAI and WBIX will take place on Saturday, July 20th at 10 a.m. at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington, Long Island, Park Avenue and Route 25A. Coffee and bagels will be served at 9:30 a.m. and discussion will begin at 10 a.m., including choosing an interim board and planning bylaws and outreach events for Long Island. For more information, call 516-741-4360. That's 516-741-4360.
The Brooklyn Botanic Gardens Butterfly and Hummingbird Trail is open through August 31st. Young visitors, under 7 with an adult, can stop by the Children's Garden Pavilion on Saturdays and Sundays from 2 to 3:30 p.m. for workshops and craft activities about butterflies, hummingbirds, and other pollinators. For more information, call 718-623-7200. That's 718-623-7200.
On Wednesday, July 24th at 7 p.m., Share International is sponsoring a talk by author Benjamin Krem on the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher and the masters of wisdom. This event will take place at the Hotel Pennsylvania Skytop Ballroom at 7th Avenue and 33rd Street in Manhattan. For more information, call 212-665-9959. That's 212-665-9959.
The Brecht Forum is offering three political films during the week of July 22nd. American Coup d'Etat, a documentary about the Bush versus Gore election scandal on Monday, July 22nd. The Great Dictator, Charlie Chaplin's send-up of Adolf Hitler and American complicity with the Nazis on Wednesday, July 24th, and Tell the Truth and Run, George Selvey's and the American Press on Thursday, July 25th. Showtime for all three films is 7:30 p.m. The Brecht Forum is located at 122 West 27th Street, 10th floor. For more information, call 212-242-4201. That's 212-242-4201.
Don't forget to come to the Harlem Book Fair on Saturday, July 20th, from 11:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. on West 135th Street, between Malcolm X and Adam Clayton Powell Jr. Boulevards. Bring the whole family for a celebration of Harlem's literary traditions. For more information, call 212-344-3444.